It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
America.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for the seventh day of October 2020. October's officially a week old. This is midway through the first full week of October. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday. Oh, nicotine pouch hiccup. Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Jesus, this is just silly. Hi, I'm Bob. And if you happen by, really? If you happen by the chat room and pop in, you'll be immediately greeted by the likes of Squeaky and Roger from Roger in Oregon and Anatole and... Damn. Oh, go and get a drink of water. And capably moderated by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgistan. It's prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. And we didn't have one last week because we were busy sort of commiserating and collectively scratching our heads and wondering what in the earnest fuck we had just witnessed the previous evening, the shit show. Yeah, so probably got a little catching up to do for this prayer meeting Wednesday. And lucky for us, we've got plenty of material to catch up with. But it's also the 3 hours prior to the brouhaha in Utah. Oh, don't worry, they'll be gone in a minute. Featuring the big showdown, the one and only showdown between Kamala Harris and right-wing religious maniac and person who hears voices that he thinks are God, Mike Pencil Neck Geek. The great debate right now, prior to the great debate, being the question of the plexiglass screen. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to just wait and see what the stage is going to look like this evening. Squeaky is reporting in the chat room that Chris Christie is in ICU on a vent. You know, where did you find that, or where did you hear that, Squeaky? I'm just checking now. Well, that was 6 hours ago. CBS and various people report former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie knocked back, not knocked down, while hospitalized with coronavirus. That was yesterday. And then via Twitter, 6 hours ago, Jacqueline Ann Thompson, her handle is That's Jacqueline. I don't know. Professional, smartass, fluent in sarcasm, Irish through and through, don't test me, you'll lose. She's the one who said that Chris Christie was on a vent. That's from, and Squeaky saw it over at Democratic Underground. Well, that may or may not be true. She doesn't have a blue check mark, and she says she's a professional smartass, so who knows. On the other hand, the Daily Beast is reporting this factor, and I am inclined to believe it or give credence to it. Spencer Ackerman, Aswin Subasang, Aaron Bonko, and Sam Stein reporting. The first known White House warning to visitors about a coronavirus risk came the same day that the president acknowledged getting the virus. White House, the headline reading, White House quietly told vets group it might have exposed them to COVID-19. By vets group, what they mean is there may have been a risk of COVID-19 exposure stemming from a September 27th event honoring the families of fallen U.S. service members. Namely, Gold Star families. Jesus. Well, of course. That event was after the Rose Garden massacre of Saturday, September the 26th, at which we now understand that quite possibly Corona Caligula earned his name and is in fact the super spreader. Thanks very kindly. Every program here begins with gratitude. Thanks very kindly to James and to Reed and to Brock for being partial sponsors of the program. They're our subscribers for the seventh day of the month. And thank you to Jeremy in Vermont for being the first through the door this evening. That means that we've got $465 to go to catch up with the middle of the week. That would be all of today, all of yesterday, and $65 of Monday. It would be great if we could not have some sort of monumental hole to dig out of by Friday on the front porch. So they exposed the Gold Star families, the maggot plague house did, on September the 27th, and they waited until October the 2nd. To warn the Gold Star families. Yeah. Precisely. Stephen New York noting. So, individual one is also patient zero. Precisely. Precisely. And thanks to Lou. Thank you, Lou. Lou voted for me for Best Media Personality in West Virginia at the Best of West Virginia balloting over at wbliving.com. Remember, there is a link at the top of the page at headon.live. Vote for Bob in WV Living Magazine's Best of WV. Just click it, and it'll take you right where you need to go. And thanks to everybody who has. And remember, you can keep on voting until the 11th day of October, and that's a really big deal. Doesn't come with a secret decoder ring or a compass in the stock or a maybe there's a certificate suitable for framing. I don't know, but it would be a signal honor and a major award. Mm-hmm. Thanks, everybody. Thank you very kindly. So, Let's see. What else? Oh, we're getting a little bit more verification on the Chris Christie issue. The New York Post. Chris Christie remains hospitalized with COVID-19 in New Jersey. Fourth straight day. He's in good spirits and getting care, said a source familiar with his condition. He is asthmatic. He's been talking and texting with people all day. So that's what the New York Post is reporting. Let's see. And NewJersey.com reporting the same thing. Nobody talking about a ventilator. Billable Rick says, I heard the same news that Christie is in dire straits, not the vent part. With COVID, such news, like he's still in the hospital, is usually not good. And large gaps in reportage about the condition of a hospitalized COVID patient are usually ominous. Remember John Prine? If Christie passes away, he'll be the second major GOP politico after Herb Kane, and certainly not the last one to sacrifice himself at the altar of Trump. The question that I'd like to ask Chris Christie, if he isn't on a vent, is, well, was it worth it? Was he worth it? Damn good question. I saw a graphic earlier today that gave me a serious giggle. Someone tweeted earlier, Scott Bowser, I will Venmo $100 to the first Walter Reed staffer that dresses up like Herman Cain and warns him that he's going to be visited by three ghosts tonight. That was back on the third day of October, but it's still funny as fuck. And instead, maybe unlike Jacob Marley, instead of rattling chains, the shade of Herb Cain could rattle pizza boxes, nine of them, as a matter of fact, as he came down the hallway toward Nitwit Nero's door. He could be rattling those pizza boxes. And how many pizza boxes would there be? 999. Yes. 999. Donald Trump. You will be visited by three ghosts tonight. But I'm still giggling about my giggle from last night. And thank you. I'm so glad. Joy in Ann Arbor dropped me a note and said, you know how I love your Marianne Trump, but Pornhiker has slain me this morning. I can't get anything done. Dead. I had not considered how close Mary and Melania could be vocally. Oh, yeah, like I said, since yesterday and well in today, every now and then I just look up and giggle a little bit and say, Pornhiker! Which led, all these things lead to little, when you live in my brain, you get to enjoy little pieces of theater that just rise unbidden, and some are better than others, but today it's, because remember, we've had radio theater of the air in which we hearken back to the days when Marianne Trump, the illegal immigrant who said she was coming from that little muddy hoof print of a gene pool on a forlorn island in Scotland, said she was coming to the United States to go on vacation, and then promptly started looking for work and in the process looking for a husband, and found Frederick Christ Trump. No, really. It's his middle name. Mm-hmm. The son of a pimp and a bordello operator. Fred Trump. And so we've imagined those moments where, having gotten into knee breeches and so forth at about the age of nine, Marianne looked at little Donnie and said, Now, Donnie, you're all a big boy now.
and you're not even partying in your pants anymore. You've got a very big brain and very good genes, Dunny.
Of course, I think that's before Crick and what's-his-name discovered genes, but ACT, ACG, TCG, GT, whatever. But this led to a new installment in which Marianne warns her very special son of the wily ways of women in the world. Neil Dooney, I want you to be careful out there. Watch out, Dooney. Stay pure. And don't be falling for the wiles of any Transylvanian porn hookers. For the Transylvanian porn hookers will surely lead you astray. Will you promise me, Dooney, not to have anything to do with the Transylvanian porn hookers?
Oh, I do. I will.
Oh, that's my good Dooney. Oh, we've had a little accident, haven't we? Well, that's all right. Go to the bathroom and Mother will bring you a change. Just remember, Dooney, stay away from the Transylvanian porn hookers.
Well, hopefully I've ruined another morning for Joy in Ann Arbor. And probably dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. Yeah. And by the way, Billable Rick says, I thoroughly enjoyed the side porch you had yesterday with Scotty and Steve. The conversation was spellbinding and helped me as I cut the bamboo plants overgrowing across my driveway from the neighbor's yard. Great stuff. And I almost crashed today as I listened to the podcast of you impersonating Marianne and talking about the porn hookers. That may rock it to the greatest or lowest moments of the horn right there with the Alabama sex clams. Mm-hmm. No wonder Sparky's taking Wednesday off. He said it's nice enough out there where he is that he actually folded space today. Well, it's nice when your third stage guild navigators can fold space. You don't want them going too many days without that, because then the spice becomes stagnated and, well, bad things happen. But I had wondered if maybe we want to have a little bit of a wee bit of a porch. Oh, a wee bit. I may be stuck in Marianne Trump mood today. Maybe we might want to have a wee bit of a porch in anticipation of the brouhaha in Utah. The Salt Lake Smackdown. The Salt Lake Lickin'. I've been working on names for a while. The Lickin' in Salt Lake. There, that's good. So maybe around the top of the hour, some of us can get together and just see what we expect out of tonight's brouhaha. Now, if you've got a bottle of liquor, I'll tell you this early on. If you've got a bottle of liquor, you have to take a shot every time Mike Pence talks about the Republican Party's reverence for life. And you got to take two shots every time he says the unborn. Right. And that could pretty well have you in the bag within the first 20 minutes of the program. Yeesh. True. Billable Rick says, Horn Hall of Fame moments. We also can't forget Steve from Georgia Stan regaling us his tale of passing 8-year-old bubblegum and preparing for his colonoscopy. Well, that's the gold standard, or the pink standard, it being bubblegum and everything. Maybe it was gray by then. Maybe it was brown. I don't know. I really don't want to think about it, and dinner's now over in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. But that's the pinnacle to which all great comic moments on the horn aspire, that moment. I got a note here. Bob! I'm looking forward to the debate tonight, as I want to see Mama Kamala show Pence who the real mother is. I'm disappointed that the event is going to be held in Utah in the middle of Moran country. Or is that Mormon country? Well, that's MOR:M, country. The hell's the difference? That state's so disturbingly red that it reminds me of hell, and there's such a place because that is where Mitt Romney lives. No, he lives in... No. Hold on, Joey. He lives in California. Him and Mother Romney and Rafalka, I guess. Yeah, they strapped Rafalka to the top of the family truckster and headed out to California. But I think he maintains a post office box or something in Utah, so he can still be a senator there. You know, Mitt, who voted against Kavanaugh, but is now going to vote for Amy Corona Dry Rant. Yeah. God, does not that woman look like a cross between Karen Black and Michelle Bachmann? What's that, Giraffrey? Giraffrey says, look, there's Marcus Bachmann right now holding one of his Pray Away the Gay conferences on none other than Prayer Meeting Wednesday, with Michelle down on her knees praying for the little lost boys at the conference. Jesus, Giraffrey, I hope that's what she's doing. You never know with these people. Mitt can't make it tonight because his limo driver caught the corona from his daughter-in-law, Rona Romney McDaniel. And apparently his car elevator's jammed just like his brain. Ah, yes, the car elevator. Binders full of women. Okay, my question is, Joey says, why wouldn't Pence want to agree to hold the debate in the state named for him, such as Pennsylvania, since right now the Republicans actively trying to steal that state by kicking a couple of 100,000 active voters off the voting rolls? What's that, Giraffrey? Giraffrey adds, is also threatening to use alternative electoral voters to subvert the will of William Penn's people. Pence would love it if they held the debate at Pence State, because that's the home of the neatly lyings, because Republicans love to tell neat little lies. Giraffrey thinks Pence State would be a perfect place for Pence, because Trump and his family are going to eventually end up in a state pen. Oh, my God. However, State College does not want Pence, because Trump stiffs all of the cities and places he goes and leaves these jurisdictions deeply in debt, and after the Jerry Sandusky fiasco, State College is still deeply in the rears. What am I going to do about you, Joey? As it turns out, the majority of the people in Pennsylvania don't want your Pence or your idiot buddy Trump, as the polls keep widen in favor of Biden. William Penn would not have wanted you either. Pence says, William Penn, ironically, was a prolific writer and a politician whose two core manifest beliefs were democracy and religious freedom. He was also, Ben Franklin was not a fan, let's just put it that way. Two strong principles and beliefs that you, Mike Pence, and your party don't stand for, believe in, or espouse. You, along with Betsy DeVos, just want to hang your cross on everybody and push your religious hegemony everywhere you can. You're inappropriately using your government position in attempts to proselytize the people and shove your religious views down the collective thoughts of the throats of the citizens of this country. Ironically, you'll be in Utah tonight, and of course Utah is home of Brigham Young and the Mormons, and Mike Pence, if you want to learn how to proselytize, become a Mormon, consider proselytizing as one of the core tenets of their religion. And Mormons are very good at proselytizing and recruiting. Well, they're not really that good. They just, they're really persistent. They don't have a great conversion rate. And while you're out there, Mike, why don't you try to open a bank account? Because many banks in Utah will not give you an account if you're not a practicing Mormon. So go ahead, Mike. Try to open an account and experience firsthand what religious discrimination feels like from the other side. Tonight, I hope Kamala harasses you and does a mic drop on you so we can watch the Harris and all the other polls continue to expand the lead for Biden and Harris. I really hope that Kamala brings up Regeneron, the medication featuring stem cells that Trump's been taking to fend off the virus. Hey, he's fever-free today. Still won't tell us when his last negative test was. They won't tell us if he... he doesn't have any symptoms today. Well, is he testing positive? Oh, we wouldn't want to get into that. Millions of people will be homeless, Joey notes, because just last night Trump has decided not to work on another stimulus package, and so might Joe Biden, because the White House will not be habitable after the entire Trump team has contaminated the place with the COVID. What's that, Giraffe? Well, I myself am wondering if Mother Pence will willfully wear a mask, or will she attempt to eschew the mask and make a scene and, you know, just act like a Karen? Because she is one. She's the original Karen. She's the first Karen. Good point, Jeffrey. This has been Joey's Journal for Prayer Meeting Wednesday, October the 7th, with Jeffrey reading the penmanship of one William Penn. A lot of shameless punnery going on in there, Joey and Jeffrey. I had a higher opinion of Jeffrey until that shamelessness. Yeah, Bill will Rick. Cowbell for Joey Romney's car elevator is jammed like his brain. That was a multi cowbell journal entry. A lot of work went into that. Negative cowbell. We're taking one away, Joey. I hope Kamala does a mic drop on Pence. So many cowbells, so little time. Well, that's one pulled away. Jimmy in the Great Northwest says, a friend was telling me this morning that mailboxes were vandalized and mail stolen in some southern states. Have you heard about this? No, I haven't. But if the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department wants to get on it, we'll see what we can figure out. As Steve in New York pointing out, it's a twofer, Moran Monday and Prayer Meeting Wednesday. And a reference to a story. Oh, get the hockey puck. From the Independent, so, you know. Eric the Dumber gave a radio interview to a North Dakota radio station, because I guess North Dakota is the only place that would have him, in which he made a rather shocking claim about his father's relationship with Christianity.
Second Amendment, he's literally saved Christianity. I mean, there's a full-out war on faith in this country by the other side. I mean, the Democratic Party, the far left...
Wait, what? What? Yeah.
Done. You know, for natural gas in this country, he's protected the Second Amendment. He's literally saved Christianity. I mean, there's a full-out war on faith in this country by the other side. I mean, the Democratic Party, the far left, has become the party of the quote-unquote atheist. I mean, they want to attack Christianity. They want to close churches. They want to, you know, they're totally fine keeping liquor stores open, but they want to close churches all over the country. I mean, look what he's done in the Middle East. Peace in the Middle East. He's, you know, look what he's done with prescription drug prices.
Ah, peace in the Middle East. Sure. Nobody really bothered to check in with the Palestinians on that now, did they? No, they didn't. He literally saved Christianity. Nitwit Nero did. You know, call me crazy, but I don't think Eric actually knows what literally means. No. Literally saved Christianity. Well, the fact of the matter is, let's toddle over to Talabama for a minute, shall we? Because there's a development down there. a group of atheists have sued the state of Alabama because it turns out if you want to vote in Alabama, of course, you have to register to vote. And in order to register to vote in the state of Alabama, you have to sign a sworn declaration under penalty of perjury that swears the truth of the following. I'm a U.S. citizen. I live in the state of Alabama. I'll be at least 18 years of age on or before Election Day. I'm not barred from voting by reason of a disqualifying felony conviction. The list of disqualifying felonies is available on the Secretary of State's website at sos.alabama.gov/mtfelonies. I have not been judged mentally incompetent in a court of law. I solemnly swear or affirm to support and defend the Constitution of the United States and the state of Alabama, and further disavow any belief or affiliation with any group which advocates the overthrow of the governments of the United States or the state of Alabama by unlawful means, and that the information contained herein is true, comma. So help me God. So help me God. So, if you're an atheist or an agnostic or any of a number of other sorts of non-theist non-believers, you have to commit perjury in order to register to vote in the state of Alabama. And this isn't quite the same thing as what goes on, say, in a 12-step program where you have to acknowledge the existence of a higher power. The higher power can be anything. The higher power can be your non-belief, as a matter of fact. It can be anything you want it to be. So it's been explained to me. This, in the state of Alabama, is an open declaration that you swear before the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky, because it can't be Aller, and we're not entirely sure if it can be that Yahweh Jehovah feller. Probably the entire Christian state of Alabama would utter a blood curdling scream if you were to suggest that maybe it could be that Hindu god Ganesh, my favorite of the Hindu gods. There's a bunch of them. Huitzilopochtli, right out. God, damn it. The Freedom from Religion Foundation has sent an intent to sue letter . They sent it to officials of the state of Alabama on behalf of a non-believer who wanted to register to vote but couldn't sign the declaration without committing perjury. When he reached out to the Secretary of State, the Secretary of State's office in Alabama told Randall Cragen that, well, you can either sign the form or don't vote. And if you cross out a portion of the oath, the Board of Registrars in your county will reject the application and ask you to resubmit. So now, the Freedom from Religion Foundation was told essentially the same thing, and they're filing federal lawsuit against the state of Alabama on behalf of Randall Cragen and three other atheists. The complaint reads, in part, the Secretary of State and the state of Alabama are coercing a statement of belief in a monotheistic deity by requiring non-theists to swear, so help me God, in order to register to vote. 48 states in the United States do not require voters to swear, so help me God, in order to register to vote. The lone exception, North Dakota, does not require voters to register at all. Alabama is the only state that has voter registration forms that violate the rights of conscience of voters who are non-theists. Now, all Alabama would have to do is simply declare that it was void and of no effect. But Alabama won't do that because the Secretary of State does not want to run the risk of having his or her political career ended with a bunch of mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing freaks hooting and hopping up and down and shrieking and grunting and barking outside the Secretary of State's office saying, Alabama Secretary of State done took God out of the ballot box. Surely we will soon be wiped out by hurricanes and tornadoes and oil spills as God unleashes his wrath upon the state of Taliban. Wait a minute, that's already happened, all of it. And in particular, the plaintiffs want a declaration from the federal court that the state of Alabama has violated the U.S. Constitution with its so help me God language. And the thing is, this isn't even a close call. This is settled law for 70, 80 years. And the upshot of it will be, hopefully, that Alabama will be compelled to actually get in line with the Constitution of the United States, and they will then have to write a great big whopping attorney's fees check for the Freedom from Religion Foundation. Well, that may be true. Randy in PA said, I'm about to ruin dinner somewhere. I ordered my adult diapers today so that I can vote in person on election day. Randy anticipates being in line for a very, very long time. Now, don't you atheists run around and go voting in Alabama. Wouldn't you love to? What a mess that would become. Talk about an act of civil disobedience. You sign the thing, you register, you vote, and then you make a public statement of, I did not believe in God when I signed it. I don't believe in God now. And I voted. Ball's in your court, Alabama Attorney General. But the thing is, that wouldn't necessarily come with attorney's fees for the Freedom from Religion Foundation. Yeah, that's a little creepy, isn't it? Ron in Raleigh says, if that should happen to get to the Supreme Court, the inferior Amy Coney Bryant, you know, the judge handmaid, will vote against the plaintiff because she said her job as a judge is to, and as a lawyer, is to bring about the kingdom of God. Burn the heretic. Burn some sense into him, I say. Just curious, says Lee in New York, has any Alabama court ever dealt with an atheist witness? I can almost guarantee that, because I know some Alabama atheists who testified in court. Subject line, Christianity. Matt in San Francisco says, damn it! We atheists were so close to ending Christianity. And we would have done it, too, if it wasn't for those darn Trumps. We got away with it, too, if it wasn't for you meddling Trumps.
Ruh-roh, Reggie.
Oh, that's good. Steve in New York says, breaking news, Trump negotiates peace accord between the United States and Canada right after the one between the UAE and Israel. Of course, of course. Renee in D.C., Eric the Dumber on saving Christianity. Ha ha! Only Nitwit Nero could save Christianity, that pagan religion not even God could save. Kyle in Kentucky stands says, Bob, you forgot the part that the tornadoes and floods were because of that queer atheist agenda. Give us credit where it's due, Bob. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And don't forget Drag Queen Story Hour. That can bring on a Class 5 tornado faster than you can say, there's no place like home, there's no place like home, there's no place like home. one of the more curious things pointed out about the health status of Nitwit Nero, David in South Carolina, Stan, pointing out that Trump's doctor's report says that his blood analysis showed that he had antibodies in his blood, which is amazing since he's been getting antibodies infused into his blood via intravenous delivery since, Friday.
He's got antibodies. He's over it.
No. So that's a start. From Alabama to Arkansas, let's check in. Let's check in with the News and Observer. That's a newspaper, of course, out of Charlotte. It's a story, however, out of Arkansas. About a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, ammo-sacker, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, gospel-sharp, by the name of Lloyd Eddie Lasker, Jr. of Arkansas. And back the last week of September, he got arrested and run into the Hooskow for... wait for it, of course. Possession of meth. I guess that makes Pastor Lasker a Crystal Methodist. Happened in Conway, Arkansas. I think our dear friend Haley could probably tell us where that is. And Reggie in Southwest Arkansas. Well, Pastor Lasker does his gospel sharpen at the House of Refuge and Deliverance Ministries. Oh, no, not deliverance. Sure do got a pretty mouth. Will it? No. So a law enforcement official by the name of Detective Brittany, Brittany Little, upon going to the House of Refuge and Deliverance Ministries, discovered an emaciated 21-month-old child with multiple bruises from head to toe. She also found the baby's mama and Pastor Brother Minister Lasker. As of October 1st, the baby was in the ICU with a brain bleed and extreme malnourishment. It was a little bit later then that the cops went looking for Lasker to ask him about all of this. They caught up with him at a gas station. They searched his car, where they found 4 grams of crystal meth in a little baggie inside the door panel. You know, not like down in that little pocket area, but pop the door panel off and put the meth in. Yep. They found a pipe. They found another meth-smoking gizmo. And then on the floor, they found more meth over on the passenger side. And Brother Pastor Minister Gospel Sharp Lasker said... He didn't know nothing about no meth and how it got there. And just a complete, praise the Lord, he done it again. Water into wine, well, it's a modern world. Turn water into meth. But it keeps getting worse. He later admitted, well, I used the meth in the church. And then he started telling about how he was trying to exorcise the demon that was in that little 21-month-old baby. No further word on the baby. No further word on Brother Lasker, except to say that he has to go back to court on October the 13th, 6 days from now. How do you do an exorcism on a 21-month-old baby? How do you do that? I'm kind of flummoxed there. How does a 21-month-old baby tell you that the demon is or isn't there? See, that's the demons there. That's the problem, the demons. Really, and this is a serious question. Should anyone who believes in demons be allowed anywhere near babes in arms? Because, you know, that demon-haunted world is a dangerous place. Very dangerous place. Particularly dangerous for the people that the freaks think have a bad case of demons. Now, this little piece of audio here. We have, over the years, gotten used to the idea that Coach Dave Daubenmeyer is crazier than a sprayed roach. But this goes beyond Dave Daubenmeyer's crazy. This is a level of dehumanization that is designed to lead to far worse things. When you dehumanize your enemy, you make just about anything possible. Oh, and thank you. Thank you very kindly to Kat in Ohio. Thank you, Kat. We are now down to $440 to go to catch up with the middle of the week. Thank you, Kat. Hopefully you'll have some company along the way. No, Dave Daubenmeyer decided to unburden himself of his deeply held religious conviction about the nature of Joseph Robinette Biden.
Which we want Joe Slow Jim Crow last night on the debates. Old Black Eyed Joe. What was up with that? Is that a clone, a double? What is going on with that debate? Trump had to debate Chris Wallace and Joe Biden. Great to have you back, Coach. Weigh in on this insanity.
Sheila, it's great to be on with you. And I think
the crazy lady at the beginning is one Sheila Zielinski, who has a podcast all about, the aliens who are coming to eat our Bibles and you know, destroy our churches and probably sodomize Dave Daubenmeyer. Yep, Dave was real happy to be talking to Sheila.
Sheila, it's great to be on with you. And I think it's a combination of demonology and PSYOP. I mean, those two may not go together, but I was, you know, we were discussing that a little bit on my own show this morning. Joe Biden last night in the debate, it's like he's not even a human being. It's like there's nothing inside there, right?
Yeah.
And then the PSYOP that's going on around us with the masks and the social distancing. And
he's not even a human being. He's probably some alien construct. I mean, just ask Q. Q can tell you. Oh, and by the way, there's some more Q news out there. Jason Gelinas. Sweet job with Citigroup as a member of their executive tech team, and he had once been a Democrat, and he'd once voted for Barack Obama, even. I mean, this guy was, as Bloomberg Businessweek reports, had a great job. Citigroup, degree from Fordham University, and senior VP at Citigroup in the tech department and was working on AI. Married, kids, house in the Jersey burbs, big Game of Thrones fan, played soccer. And then he went down the right-wing rabbit hole on the internet. At one point, he told one of his pals that Hillary Clinton was at the center of a global cabal of sex traffickers. And that was about the same time as the rise of the Q madness. And so, well, Jason Gelinas used his talents to create a massive Q website. And he has made himself sort of a high priest. Gelinas says he's number two in the movement, behind only Q. And created the QMAP website. It's a long piece. You might want to take a look at it over at Bloomberg Business Week. It explains the anatomy of a paranoid fantasy. Q says, according to Steve in New York, apparently Hillary was at the center of a very large counterfeit sex clams racket. Well, you know, all you got to do is go down to Alabama and sign that voter registration form that says "So help you God" on it, and everybody knows you believe in God, and you can get away with just about anything, including counterfeiting sex clams. Our buddy Keith says, Pastor Lasker, the Crystal Methodist. Yeah, Bob, it sounds kind of like Pastor Lasker done methed up. Yes. You deserve that, Keith. Happily awarded. Pastor Methodist, Lee in New York, says, he did have a methodology. The gift that keeps on giving. The pastor's a Christian meth head, says Jimmy in the Great Northwest. Oh, I have a feeling we'll be dealing with this for a while. But back to Coach Dave, who has declared that Joe Biden isn't even a human being. Well, did you realize that in the as far back as the oldie common law goes in Merry Oldie Engeland, did you know that one of the elements of murder is that the being killed has to be a human being?
Opening, Sheila, we are in the midst of something that maybe 10, 15, 20 years from now, we're going to look back on this and say, you look deeply into the eyes of Joe last night. And boy, I just don't. You know, I had someone, one of the listeners to my own show said today that, and Sheila, you can go back and look at this. There's no aura around Joe Biden.
Yeah. What? He doesn't have an aura. Generally speaking, I don't see auras around anybody unless they're standing with their back to the sun. Kind of creates a little backlit halo effect. The photographers in the group will understand that. Or, of course, if I happen to have consumed some sort of psychedelic, which I don't do. But let's say, psilocybin mushroom or two, or some peyote, or Maybe a little MDMA, acid. Well, then you can get auras. Is that what's going on with Coach Dave? He's just quietly goes about his business of microdosing acid every day of his week, so he thinks that everybody has an aura. Joe Biden doesn't have an aura. Donald Trump's got an aura.
just kind of there, you know?
He's like this soulless, lifeless blow-up doll.
Yes, and so you have to ask yourself.
Blow-up doll.
What or who is speaking through that guy? Because he's there. He's looking in the camera. He's saying stuff, but he's basically emotionless. There's something supernatural, Sheila, that's happening in the governmental realm that I don't think the average person, certainly even the average Christian, has any concept of what it is. I don't even know if I understand it, but it's certainly a
Bob Kincaid, human theremin.
Worldly.
Well, it is, and I think a lot of people have...
Where's my aura? Oh, dadgummit, I told Agnes not to put my aura in the bag that goes to the cleaners. Oh, they should... You come back smelling of that cleaning fluid your aura does, and it never fits right again. And then you got to go out and get a new aura. You understand how much a new aura costs? You get spiritualists and everything.
Noticed this over the years, and I've done exposés on these Hollywood hucksters. A lot of them, I'm sure Right Wing Watch is going to salivate at this. You know, are they so full of demons, or is it some kind of cloning? Is it some kind of beast tech?
Oh, well, we all know. Come on, Sheila. We all know what it is. Alex Jones warned us years ago. It's those monkey jellyfish hybrids from the wet markets of old Kowloon. That's what it is. That's where it comes from. Sheila don't hardly know nothing, does she? But apparently, we're just crawling with demons. I mean, consider the prayer warriors. You know, they had their rally there. Remember, one of the prayer warriors went to the rally, and it may have given a whole bunch of prayer warriors some prayer rona. Prayer rona meeting Wednesday. Because and then he went to the Rose Garden massacre. Yeah, so there's a cat named Michael Gidera who wrote earlier this week, prior to election night in 2016, the Democrats thought they would win. A miracle happened and they lost. Panic set in. That wasn't a miracle there, buddy. That was merely the operation of a 200-plus-year-old anachronism left over from our brutal days of condoning chattel slavery, Electoral College. Panic set in as they realized that without the control of the White House, their corrupt deeds could be exposed. Playbook was written to keep the country in chaos for the next 4 years. Each event was carefully crafted to try and take Trump out of office. How is this plan not understood by the public for the fraud that it is? Enter stage right, the mainstream media. They've failed to report the truth and use deception to keep the American people in the dark. Even worse, they've twisted the truth to make it look like good is evil and evil is good. They've deceived much of the public into believing Trump and all his supporters are traitors to the Constitution and the Democrats are the saviors. It is the most bizarre delusion ever conceived in the history of our nation. And then, you know, went on to point out the fact that this is all because demons. Treason isn't really treason. It's a Democratic plot to make it look like treason. Holy crap. But what's particularly interesting is how these... religious maniacs have gone about the business of trying to explain that their God Emperor has the Rona. Enter Deanna Lorraine. She's one of those people that probably hasn't read about, what's his name, Mr. Gelinas, and his QMAP website and the fact that he made it all up. Oh, she jumped on Twitter about 5 days ago and said, I'm just going to say what we're all thinking.
Trump was fine until the debate, where they set up microphones and podiums for him. Incubation periods usually 2 to 3 days. He tests positive a couple of days after the debate. I put nothing past the left. Nothing. Nothing. Look at him celebrating already. When he beats this, will you admit you were all wrong? Does anyone else find it odd that no prominent Democrats have had the virus, but the list of Republicans goes on and on and on? Nobody seems to be able to get through to Deanna Lorraine, who is, of course, a part of Alex Jones's InfoWars. Nobody seems to get through to her the idea that a lot of the Democrats don't have it because a lot of the Democrats wear masks and practice social distancing, which is what the scientific community says you should do. Sort of like what Joe Biden said in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania yesterday. Wearing a mask is not a political act. Wearing a mask is a scientific act. Maintaining social distance is it a political act? Maintaining social distance is a scientific act. But see, you can't really put much stock in science if you live in that demon-haunted world where there's demons under your bed, in your shaving kit. My God, you open that pack of instant oatmeal just to try to have breakfast in the morning, and out comes an oatmeal-covered demon. Just add hot water. Incubation period's usually 2 to 3 days. No, it's 4 to 14, Deanna, you fucking idiot. And he was positive at the Rose Garden Massacre, and he was positive when he was spewing on the Gold Star families the next day. And the White House knew it. Just didn't tell anybody. He knew he was positive when he went to the debate a week ago last night, and he went with homicide in his heart. He went with a cold-blooded, murderous intention to try to spread the disease to Joe Biden. And Joe Biden is still a week away from being in the clear. God. Morons. Oh, but don't worry. Nitwit Nero's going to beat the Rona. Just ask Brendan Dilley. He's a life coach, a MAGA life coach.
More than likely, your president of the United States, who fucking has God-tier genetics, okay? I don't know, look, I don't care what you say. That dude's got God-tier genetics, okay? His kids are always healthy. They're all strong, tall, no deformities, nothing going on, all right? These are rock-solid people. President Donald J. Trump, he's been your president 3.5 years. He's been campaigning for, like, I don't even know how long, what, another 2 years on top of that? You've never seen him sick. You've never seen him, like, without energy. So just remember, President Trump is not somebody that's walking around with weak-ass pussy fucking genetics, all right? He ain't got those liberal genes, okay? These are like God-tier genetics, up top fucking one percentile genetics.
God-tier genetics. I got a feeling that the goddess of irony is not going to take too kindly to this silliness.
So don't even sweat that shit. Part of what makes President Trump special is that we finally have somebody we can build legend around. And you need that in culture. You need legend.
I see. Brendan Dilley is an expositor of culture. And we need to build legends.
Let me tell you a story about a man named Don. Poor millionaire. Couldn't keep his clothing on. Nah, not worth it.
All right. And so far, President Trump has dispatched the Russians. He's dispatched China. He's dispatched North Korea. He's dealt with the Iranians. He whacked ISIS. He destroyed the deep state. He destroyed Obama. He destroyed Clinton. All these people tried to fight him. He beat all of them so far. He beat Mueller. He beat the FBI. He beat the CIA.
He committed at least 10 counts of obstruction of justice, but we won't really mention that because, well, you'd probably lose Brendan Dilley at obstruction, or maybe of. He beat Mueller by having Mueller give up before he even got started. Damn, that's some God-tier genetics. That's what that is.
Do I need to keep going? He's going to add coronavirus to the list of legendary feats.
Yeah. So far, he hasn't added it. No deformities? Says Matt in San Francisco. Well, that's a really high bar. I wonder if he... Oh, no. No deformities? Well, that's a really high bar. I wonder if he puts that on his Tinder profile. Or Grindr. Just saying. Hi, Bob, says Cynthia. Just had to say, you're a scholar and a gentleman and all-around swell guy, and if Joe Biden tests positive in the coming days, Trump should be drawn and quartered for it. I'd charge him with attempted murder. I understand. Oh, wait, what's that? Randy in PA says, I deserve a cowbell for oatmeal-covered demon? Yeah, the morning oatmeal's never going to be the same.
You know, those Scottish steel-cut oats. The kind that Marianne was so fond of. Poor and hookers.
Every now and then I just have to say it, sorry. Oh, dear, dear Bob, says Steve in New York. The fact that Democrats haven't gotten the Rona can't be something as simple as Democrats wear masks and social distance. It must be demons! Crawling with demons? Brother Deacon Asa says, not to make light of Alex Jones's massive contribution to our culture, but David Icke warned us about jellyfish demons when Alex Jones was but a twinkle in his daddy's sack. You know, we did a pretty solid number on dinner in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone, and here we are 8 minutes into the second hour of the program, and yeah, I can hear chairs being pushed back and the movement of feet as they scurry away from the table in the Central Daylight Time Zone. Ron and Raleigh wants to know, do you think that the coach and the others have had a comprehensive psych workup in a while? These are the folks that Amy Coney Barrett hangs out with. So I hope somebody asks her about her position on demons. I don't remember Barack being sick or Michelle or the daughters. They seem to be straight and tall. I guess they can't have God-tier genetics because, well,
shh, they're black.
Right, of course. That's that Kenyan Muslim usurper genetics, and that'll keep you healthy too. But Deanna What's-Her-Fuck says that Nitwit Nero got it from the microphone. Brendan Fuckwit says that he's going to beat it because he's got God-tier genetics. Let's check in with Chris McDonald. Yeah, he and Deanna are probably, well, pals. Because they've got the same sort of an idea. because, you know, Democrats.
Biden don't want the debate. They didn't want the second debate. Now they've got a reason to not have the debates. And again, folks, I don't know. And if somebody's asking, and Letitia, you're asking, do you think Democratic spread the COVID-19 so he could get it? Look, I don't know. Normally I would say no. I would think that they would not do something as evil and wicked as that. But this bunch, I ain't going to say they would. I don't know. I don't have any proof they did. But I will tell you this. Wouldn't put it past them. Wouldn't put it past them. This throws a monkey wrench into everything, guys. I'm telling you, you mark my word, they're going to try to cancel these next two debates. And the reason I know President Trump won the debate, despite all this Tuesday night, is that the first thing out of the left's mouth Wednesday morning is, let's cancel the two debates. So, now, think about this. They're screaming, don't debate Wednesday. 2 days later, your president comes up with COVID-19 along with the first lady. It don't seem right to me. And I'm not...
I don't have any proof,
but it sure does. It just stinks.
Yeah, it stinks. It stinks. It smells a lot like coronavirus, which means it's probably stinking real bad there in the Rosie Garden there when they was a spread. I wonder who the super spreader is that gave it to 19 or 30 White House people. Who's the secret Democrat that's sitting around playing Parcheesi with Stephen Miller and nobody knows it? And I wouldn't put it past them. I wouldn't. They're like that. Yeah. And then there's a... what? David in South Carolina, Stan, noting Nitwit Nero said God blessed him with COVID. He just walked out the White House and said that God blessed him with COVID. Yep, there's that roid brain. And by that, I don't mean that his brain is a hemorrhoid, although I might actually mean that his brain is a hemorrhoid. I'm saying the dexamethasone is working real good. Mm-hmm. They figured it out. Lee in New York says, why is it only Republicans get COVID? It's the masks. Democrats coat the outside of their masks with COVID. When Democrats breathe wearing a mask, the breathing pushes the coronavirus to the nearest Republican. Makes sense to them. By the way, riddle me this, Bob Man. How can anyone survive the virus because POTUS survived the virus and Trump has the best genes of all humanity? Huh? 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 See? But there's sad news for the folks in the upper Midwest this evening. Minnesota. The home of Minnesota Nice. Place I've flown into and out of a number of times and even spent a little time there experiencing the Minnesota Nice. Well, Michelle Batshit Crazy Bachman delivered the sad news about her home state. Yeah. It's not the same anymore. Not at all.
What has changed in the last decade, though, that you would say that you've seen there that's made such a significant impact on the culture?
I would say probably the main thing is, as would be true anywhere else, a loss of reverence for God and of the things of God, and a loss of reverence for his word and the truth of his word, and turning away from the...
Yep, no reverence for God in Minnesota or anywhere else for that matter. The churches have all been closed. They're boarded up. Hell, some of them have been turned into liquor stores, maybe, or places where you can get some sort of cruelty-free, vegan, organic breakfast food, bread, something, or maybe a cup of that chai tea or something. Liberals. No reverence for God no more.
truths of his words to our own ways. And that brings us to a place of emptiness, ultimately sorrow and sadness. And I think that's happened here in Minnesota as well. Also, the embrace of false gods.
Ah, false gods. Can't wait to find out who those are. You want to play some bets?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, your list of false gods has to begin with Huitzilopochtli. Or Kukulcan. Or Quetzalcoatl. Or maybe Ra. Or Baal. Yeah. Could that be?
Because the first commandment is very important. And again, this is not to be legalistic. These are the laws that God gave to Moses for our good, not for legalism.
Honey, you're not a Jew. By any stretch of the imagination. I know you may have a bumper sticker on the back of your car that says, "My boss is a Jewish carpenter," but that does not mean that you're a member of the Lost Tribes or anything. If you make a claim like that, the Mormons are going to get mad because they're working that corner right now. Bachman. Is that from... What tribe is that? Is that the Levites?
To say that I am the Lord thy God, thou wilt have no other gods before me.
Funny how he was talking to the children of Israel at the time, but Michelle just thinks that she can horn in on the conversation and go, "I'll have me some of that too."
I'm the God that brought you out of Egypt. Yeah. And so what God...
You were in Egypt, Michelle? Your people were in Egypt. Lady... When and if the children of Israel were in Egypt, at a time when Egypt was the most developed civilization on the face of the planet, your ancestors were fighting with the buzzards for what the wolves didn't want.
God is saying is that we are to worship him and him alone, to know who he is, his attributes and his strengths. And in Minnesota, I think that there's been a turning away from that, even from mainline churches, even from other churches where we don't necessarily revere the truth of his word. And instead, many people have come to the Minnesota area that are not believers of the book. They're not Jewish. They're not Christian.
They're not believers of the book. They're not Jewish. They're not Christian. But there's more than two believers of the book. That's just well known. That would be your Jews, your Christians, and your Muslims. Those are your people of the book. But according to Michelle Batshit Crazy Bachman, it would be Jews, Christians, and Michelle Bachman.
That's not to say that God doesn't love all people. He does.
Right.
But when people embrace false gods, that brings an element into your society. And, 30 years ago, we could say that there are false gods and that we shouldn't worship them. Today, it seems like we're not allowed to say that because...
Who doesn't allow you to say that? You just said that. Where's the PC false god police knocking down the doors and dragging you away to a false god re-education camp there, Missy?
That's considered not inclusive or not diverse enough. Right. But the fact is the
diverse
word of God
enough.
Says that there's only one God to whom...
You've either got diversity or you don't have diversity. Diverse enough.
We serve. And there are false gods now here in the state of Minnesota.
No! False gods in the state of Minnesota? Wait a minute. Loki? Thor? Odin the Allfather? Those kind of false gods? Oh, I know. Leah New York says, give her a break. She was misreading the original Aramaic. Cynthia
says, yep, all them churches have been turned into homosexual brothels run by their former ministers and preacher men. In fact, that is probably where Stephen Miller and Trump had all those kids sent after ripping them away from their parents at the border. To Michelle Bachmann's bed and brothel. Hey, two can play this game. Damn Skippy, Cynthia. Now wait just a confounded minute, says Steve in New York. I thought Donald Jesus Trump saved Christianity. Well, apparently not in Minnesota, because, you know, he didn't win Minnesota in 2016. The end of churches, asks Lee in New York. What? But not a word was spoken. The church bells all were broken. And the three men I admire most, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they caught the last train for the coast the day the music died. Diddling-ding-ding. Wow, that's two American Pie references inside of a week. How many other radio programs can claim that? Of course, the last time I said that, I went down the road and I heard the word lamentation, when that had been the word of the evening. By the way, the password is pigpence. Well, he may have saved Christianity, but Donald Trump's own ass, own fat may be in the fire. Breaking news-ish earlier today. President Donald, NBC 4 New York reporting, President Donald Trump's accountant must turn over his tax records to a New York state prosecutor, according to an appeals court ruling Wednesday. The second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, it'll be headed off to the Supreme Court soon. The second U.S. Court of Appeals said that a stay of lower court decision will remain in effect so Trump's lawyers can appeal the ruling to the Supreme Court, where they've already got a 4-3 majority and they're hoping for a 6-3. This has to do with the subpoena by Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr. It was served on Mazars. And, of course, Cyrus Vance is investigating the payoff to Stormy Daniels and, you know, the porn hooker and model Karen McDougal to purchase their silence. Why do you purchase the silence of a liar? That's a question.
It's not true. It's not true. I didn't pay them for sex. Did you ever stop to think that maybe that is a true statement? He didn't pay him for sex. He paid him for spankings. Or something else. Yeah. I mean, we just have to take these sorts of things into consideration. There are lies of commission and lies of omission.
So, Cyrus Vance now has to contend with a compliant, fawning, obsequious Supreme Court of the United States. If I was a betting man, I would not be betting on Cyrus Vance. But one can still hope. You know, hope in one hand, etc., etc., etc. So we're down to 440 to go for fundraising for the evening. In the last 6 days, in the last 6 days, I've paid a ton of bills and more remain. Okay, Bob, says the message. How much do I have to donate to make you stop singing? Oh, it's not so much that. It's more of a matter of who wants to hear me take a run at
Flow Gently, Sweet Afton. There we go. But we're 44 people at $10 would clear the evening. 10 people at $44 would clear the evening. And et cetera, et cetera. Nobody wants to hear me cipher. Batshit crazy Michelle Bachman, Ron and Raleigh, says, I'm going to have to cite Ms. Bachman for gimmick infringement of the religious variety. You can't just glom onto someone else's religion and call it your own. You know, and really, Christianity is the ultimate cultural appropriator. No rational relationship whatsoever to the monotheistic religion of the ancient Hebrew people. But thanks to St. Paul, as Ron and Raleigh puts it, glommed right onto it. And next thing you know, oh no, it's our religion too. How very white people of them. Stop it, Bob, says Lee in New York. Stop it, Bob. Trump did not pay for sex. He paid for silence. The other question is what the silence hides. Oh, you are a man of logic, Lee. Oh, dear God. David in South Carolina stands keeping up with this madness. Here's what the evangelicals are saying. And this is from Eric Metaxas. What is funnier than that? Is this president got COVID and then beat it in a couple of days and is already back at work? Is there anyone like unto him? If I were one of his detractors, I think I'd give up right about now. No sense throwing good bitterness after bad. And the new line is that he is favored of God. Trump just posted his miraculous recovery, made plugs for several of his pharma pals, and generally did exactly what he was predicted to do. And, of course, now he has the cure. According to Yamiche Alcindor, President Trump in this video calls getting the coronavirus a blessing in disguise. It was his idea to take an experimental antibody cocktail from Regeneron, and he says it's a cure, and he wants all Americans to have access to it. Yamiche Alcindor pointing out, note, no cure has been approved by the Food and Drug Administration. Ugh. Yeah. So we've reached the halfway point mark in the program. If you've got some thoughts about tonight's brouhaha in Utah-ha, the licking in Salt Lake, you're welcome to share them. Let's run over to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Dave in the blind.
Hey, what's happening, Dave? How's things down at the Emporium?
Oh, not much. Well, funny you should ask. I just came from a meeting, and all the fellows down at the shop said that as of tomorrow, I should go to the polls and vote, and then head on down to the post office and send you $20 by mail, since PayPal is being a pain in the butt.
Now, well, wait. Now, some disembodied voice didn't tell you to do this, did it?
No. But there was this god awful caterwauling of the chap speakers. I couldn't tell where it was coming from, and they said you were trying to sing, and I said, "No, that can't be."
Yeah, bad rendition of American Pie, was it?
Well. Now, you're in good company because one of my favorite movies is Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence, where you can actually hear David Bowie intentionally singing off-key as part of his character. So you're in good company, but I'm not trying to encourage you, Bob. I really, on behalf of the community, stop it, please. The pain.
It's rigged, I tell you, it's rigged.
But here's the thing I was thinking. You know how they said that you could see that Trump was physically straining to breathe? He's at the height of his infection, because that's what was happening to me when I was in quarantine. I would try to breathe in and I would feel it and it would just feel like it was hanging there. So this bullshit of, oh, he beat it. I don't expect anything else out of the evangelicals. They're used to lying. They're used to being lied to in the name of Jesus. However, nothing is going to stop these cultists from worshiping their God. Remember, it only took a couple hundred years for Christianity to go from 20 followers taking over Europe. So, I put nothing past these people. But, yeah, things around here are going pretty good. I don't know if I talked to you since I saw the little caravan of Trump followers going down Washington Street past my blind, honking and just carrying on. And these people make me sick. Chris is dropping me off at the polls tomorrow. And we'll both have our votes in, so Biden doesn't have to worry about those two votes.
Well, you know, you're voting in Taliban, Indiana. I've already voted in West Virginia, Agnes and me. So there are two rock solid Biden votes here, and two rock solid Biden votes in Taliban, Indiana. And, well, that's two.
Now all we need is a few. Now all we need is a few hundred more. You know, about 150, 160 million more of us to do the same.
And we're done. Yeah.
And, and from what I'm hearing, early voting is like at 50 times what it normally is at this point in the process. And I went on the website, the county election board website. Here in Indianapolis, they're going to have early voting until November 2nd, and which I think is a great thing. I think that's the way it should be done all across the country. But, you know, God forbid we should make the franchise convenient and universal. I mean, this stuff of swearing to God that in I expect it from Alabama, but I cannot see even a right-wing-leaning Supreme Court saying that that even passes constitutional muster. Because if you can make somebody swear to a deity they don't believe in, then when the Constitution clearly says, for instance, in court oaths, that someone who objects to swearing to God may take an alternate oath. And I don't see Alabama offering an alternate oath to their voters who object to swearing to God. And it's not just atheists. I mean, some believers won't do that as a matter of principle. So, I don't know. But I hope things are going well for you and Agnes. And congratulations on the new grandbaby.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, I continue to get photographs. Of course, that's as much as I'm going to see for I don't know how long. Long way from here to New Mexico. And even if I could go right now, well, there's a fucking pandemic going.
Yeah. Yeah, there is that. I mean, my niece had her.
I mean, I can't. There is no route from here to New Mexico that doesn't pass through some several godforsaken maggot states where people are probably licking each other at the state line.
Well, you know, too bad we don't have transporter technology. We could just transport you, go through.
No, if we had transporter technology, If we had transporter technology, we could just transport the maggots, you know, to the moon.
Well, you know, I have advocated that there be a reservation system for them. I advocated giving them the island that Juneau, Alaska is on. And then Michelle Bachmann and, you know, Donald Trump and the rest of them can walk across the water and get whatever they need.
Well, I mean, is Devil's Island still a going concern?
I don't think it is a growing concern. It's more of a tourist trap now. They actually let people go through and see the facilities. And Devil's Island was one of a group of penal colonies the French ran. And it was really weird because you couldn't, if you were convicted of a crime and sent there, you could not, let's say you were sentenced to 10 years. You couldn't return to France for 20. You had to stay there, practically stay there upon release, and then just wait out your time, and then you could go back to France.
You mean you couldn't catch a boat to Algeria or something, or Tahiti? Or?
No. No, I don't know about that, but you could not return to, let's say, Marseille, for example. You couldn't re-enter France proper for the 20 years in this example. You know, you do your 10 years, you do another 10 years outside of France. It was just punishing people to keep punishing them. And I think if they're going to put an end to all this nonsense of gerrymandering and all that, to simply pass and I say simply, it's never simple to pass a constitutional amendment that would simply state, if you are a citizen of the United States and you are above the age set by Congress, in this case, 18, then you have the right to vote. It doesn't matter if you're a felon. It doesn't matter if you're incarcerated. It doesn't matter if you've been out of the country and you return. If you are an American citizen, you have the right to vote. That would put to bed a lot of this crap. But maybe I'm just tilting at windmills, Bob.
Well, it really shouldn't be this complicated, but we complicate it because there are so many states that want to make sure that people don't vote. That's the only reason you complicate a voting process, is to make sure that people you don't want to vote don't vote, even if they have the right to vote. It's just Jim Crow 2.0.
Yeah, well, what was it that Roy Tullamore was asked years ago, when was America great? And he said 1820, and I find that telling.
Well, there's probably that's a smidgen of a hint. just a little one, Dave.
I think he wants to play landed gentry. You know, with his sweet tea on the front porch and his shoes being shined, God only knows. But he is a symptom of the rest of that. My dad, I once told him, I said, well, if you don't believe in everything Donald Trump says, then say one thing that you disagree with him on, and he wouldn't do it. I guess they take away your conservative card if you say anything bad about the God Emperor.
Well, yes.
So, I don't know. But I'm hoping that everyone's fine. And that, you know, you get to see the grandbaby. And like I said, my niece had a baby boy back in January. And I haven't seen him yet. I probably won't see him until Thanksgiving when I go up to my sister Kathy's. So
yeah, it's frustrating, isn't it?
But she, yeah, I'm worried about her, though, because they're kind of opening the schools back up. And she's been a teacher for 29 years. She's excited about seeing her students, but she said half of her students are still at home on distance learning. And she said, oh, I can't blame them for it. But some asshole senator, state senator here, said, well, 50% of their instruction has to be in person. And then he came back and said, well, that wasn't a threat. And he was threatening their funding is what he was doing.
Sure.
And then he got called out on it. Well, I wasn't threatening them. I was just quoting the law. To which some of the Democrats in the General Assembly said, then we can change the law. You know.
Yeah, that can happen.
This is not a normal time. This is not a normal time. I mean, fortunately for me, Indianapolis has a Democratic mayor. Because the rest of the state is opened up, wide open. And the city of Indianapolis has a rather weird government structure. Both the city and the county are run as one entity.
And, it's one of those, metropolitan area kind of?
It's called Unigov. And it's been in place since the 70s. I think it started under Richard Lugar and it just never has changed.
People with half a brain tend to gravitate to the less rural areas. I mean, or, you know, more than half a brain.
Well, the good part of that situation in the COVID era is that the mayor of Indianapolis has kept the social distancing requirements in place. Never mind that your average Hoosier maggot can come into the city. And we have our share of people who go maskless or something that just drives me absolutely batty. They have their nose over the mask with their mouth covered.
Yeah, or the chin strap mask holes.
Oh yes, I've seen those. Usually I see those in those electric scooters, you know, where they're 300, 400 pounds. Oh, I can't breathe through the mask. It's not the mask, pal. It's, you know, you've got a lot of extra weight you're trying to breathe through.
It's not the mask, pal. That's right up there with It's Not About the Cat. You remember It's Not About the Cat.
Well, true. No, I don't.
Oh, that was one of those Friday on the Front Porch greatest hits moments. The night that we spent an entire evening explaining to Billable Rick, it's not about the cat, Billable. If I had the date, I would give it to you.
You would think that a college-educated man like Billable would be able to figure these things out.
Well, sometimes the light has to be turned on for anybody.
True, but usually Billable is right on the ball. However, when I started when Christine and I became an item officially. That night I had playing in the park across from where I lived was Jose Feliciano. And as far as I know, Jose is still alive. So Unlike Billable, I don't kill off the icons I go to hear. So,
well, I'm sure Jose appreciates that. I have to wonder now. I have to wonder now if Billable saw Van Halen anytime in the not too distant past.
Well, I think he needs to be questioned on this matter. Because I couldn't believe it. Eddie Van Halen did that.
Well, he'd been battling cancer for a long damn time.
I didn't know that. When I first heard it, I was like, okay, he died. Then I heard something about cancer, and I'm like, oh, God. You know, I haven't gone through it with Mom. I understood, but... Anyway, I'll hop off here so somebody else can hop on. Billable can yell at me for calling into question his superpowers.
Well, what are your, let me ask you before you go, what are your debate plans this evening?
My debate plans is I'm going to watch that pathetic pile of Hoosier crap get his clock cleaned by Kamala.
You feel confident about that, do you?
Any time I can see Mike and Mother Pence suffer, I am in joyous rapture, Bob, because having lived through 4 years of a Pence regime already, I don't want to go back to that. I'm not a praying man, but if I were, I would have been praying for Donnie to live through all this crap so that Mikey wouldn't get his grubby little mitts on the levers of power. And somebody once said, I don't know if it was you or somebody else that said, Mike Pence has wanted to be president since he came out of his mother's womb.
Or was hatched.
And I have nobody but a guy named Bill Shirk to thank for that. Bill's more noted for his Houdini stunts.
Well, you'll be interested to know that Billable Rick is denying any complicity. I had no role in killing off Eddie, although I did see the band about 3 years ago.
Well, I think the statute of limitations is up on his powers of being cause and effect after 3 years. Although you never know, it might have hastened the cancer. I think more study needs to be put in hand. Can we go send him to a Kid Rock concert or something?
We've been begging. And then monitor, but, you know, the Rona has completely upended Billable's concert schedule.
Oh, that's true.
I don't know. I don't think I mentioned it on air, but I heard something the other night, and it gave me glad tidings of great joy. Apparently, Lee Greenwood is pissed. Of all people, Lee Greenwood is pissed at the Trump campaign. Because they're running around out there using God Bless the USA without saying a kiss my ass, Lee Greenwood.
Oh. In other words, he's not getting his shekels out of it. Okay.
Or drachmas, or...
That's what he's getting.
Yes. Piasters.
Yeah. Kopecks,
yes.
If we're corn rushing...
He's not getting his... Wait. Oh, wait. He's not getting his pence. Ooh.
Well... Or Vice President Halfpence.
And by the way, Dave number 11 points out that central to the whole it's not about the cat fiasco, for lack of a better term, was, of course, our king of comedy, and that is, of course, Steve from Georgistan. Steve made it extra double plus good funny. Whenever there's great funny being had on the front porch, Steve will not be far away from it.
And nor should he be. I think he should be encouraged.
Hear, hear. Well, Dave, strap in, get yourself some snacks.
And, I've got my spicy Cheez-Its ready to go, Bob.
Ooh, are you a spicy Cheez-Its fan? I'm a spicy Cheez-Its fan.
Oh yes, I am.
Although I was recently gifted with some boxes of Annie's organic cheesy snack mix. You know, pretzels and different kinds. You know the kind of thing. It's heavenly, wonderful. Just yummy.
Well, I've got my cherry Dr. Pepper, and I've got my Mountain Dew, and I've got a bit of bourbon that's locally distilled. I'm ready to go.
They make some. listen, they make some quality whiskey out that way in Talibandiana. It must be the water.
Well, the distillery here is run by a disabled veteran, and their distillery is the only one owned and operated by disabled veterans. He hires disabled veterans to work at the distillery. I've got a bourbon. It's called Bourbon Ready to Drink, and you got to love any company that will put on their label, drink responsibly, behave less so. So I figured I had to financially support these people, because anybody that has that kind of sense of humor deserves my custom.
I agree.
Anyway, I'll talk to you later, Bob. Enjoy the evening, and if you can watch Mother Pence's little girl get torn apart, this, I'll be a happy man.
Yeah, well,
I'll talk to you guys later.
I'll get through it as best I can. You know, me without the beeswax, I may be screaming for the beeswax.
Well, let's see.
But you know, we'll see. All right, Dave, you take care. Good to hear from you, my friend.
All right, thanks, Bob. Talk to you later.
Later, our buddy Dave, calling from the blind in Talibandiana. So, look here. Here's confirmation of something that we have been feeling pretty certain of. Jim Acosta, doing a stand-up outside the White House, brought some confirmation, at least for us, earlier today, about Nitwit Nero and all of that supposed testing he's undergone.
This is CNN Breaking News.
Welcome to our viewers here in the United States and around the world. I'm Wolf Blitzer in the Situation Room. We're following breaking news this hour. President Trump's reckless return to the Oval Office. Take a look at this. Live pictures coming.
Yeah, we will we'll pass on the video references on a radio program. It's the Jim Acosta conversation that we want.
Once again, showing complete disregard for the basic coronavirus guidelines put forward by the CDC as this outbreak inside the White House has continued.
That's right, Wolf. And we should point out the president just tweeted out a web video, a White House produced video in just the last several minutes. We're going through it right now. But one quick headline from that video, the president refers to his being infected with the coronavirus as a blessing from God and a blessing in disguise. So we're going through that video right now, and we'll have more on that as we go through it. But in the meantime, as you said, President Trump returned to the Oval Office, even as he's still infected with the coronavirus and capable of spreading COVID-19 to other people. He's been in the office, Oval Office, with a couple of top aides, including Chief of Staff Mark Meadows. The White House continued to cloak the president's health in secrecy today. The president's doctor released a statement saying Mr. Trump feels great and is symptom-free. But top White House officials are giving conflicting answers on whether the president entered the Oval Office yesterday. And CNN has learned the president was not being tested daily for the virus prior to his positive results last week. White House officials will only say he is tested regularly. With a Marine stationed outside the West Wing, meaning the president was back in the Oval Office, White House officials are dodging key questions about Mr. Trump's recovery from the coronavirus.
Yeah. So, no, there wasn't. all that. He's tested constantly. We're constantly no. And that's never been the case because it's annoying to get COVID tested. You know, getting that wire jammed up. Where in his case, up where human beings' brains would be, but his aren't. And he's not going to put up with something like that. He's going to pitch a fit. I don't like it. I won't do it. You can't make me. You can hear it. Word for goddamn word. So it comes as no surprise to us, but if he wasn't being actively tested, then it's a pretty sure bet that, yeah, he really is individual one, as Steve in New York said. Individual one, but patient zero. Everybody who got it at the Rose Garden Massacre got it from him. Pure and simple. Game, set, effing match. Where's the counter argument? What is the counter argument? Because I'm damned if I can figure one out. And I spend a good bit of time trying to figure out what the response will be or how these freaks think. Another rock and roll reference. I was reminded the other day of the lyrics to Come Together by the Beatles. Hold you in his armchair. You can feel his disease. Yeah, that's pretty gross, isn't it? Who am I kidding? That's real gross. But that's the reality of it. Ugh. So, some thanks to send out. Thank you to George. And thank you to Jeremy jumping back in. We are now down to 410. We have almost finished off Monday's fundraising. So, $10 to go to finish off Monday, and then we can start on yesterday. Thank you, George, and thank you, Jeremy. Who knows? We might make up a little bit of ground in the next hour. What are your thoughts? I mean, I joke about it being a brouhaha in Utah or the licking in Salt Lake. Sure. But realistically, has there ever been a more important vice presidential debate? I mean, it was downright enjoyable when Joe Biden handed Paul Eddie Munster Ryan his ass back 8 years ago. It was fun. And Tim Kaine handled Mike Pencilneck Geek pretty handily. But that election was sui generis. But in a year that has seen in excess of 210,000 Americans die from a virus that didn't need to get as broadly spread as it has been, and for whose victims Nitwit Nero has manifested almost no sympathy whatsoever, in a country that has 4% of the world's population, and yet 20% of the world's infections, 7 million plus people in the United States infected by the coronavirus, the dondemic, and a possibility, according to some worldwide infectious disease experts, that as many as 1 in 10 in this country may have it or have had it to one degree or another. Well, when you factor that in, alongside the age of the two presidential candidates, 74 and 78, Trump and Biden, respectively. The word respect should, no form of the word respect should ever probably be uttered in the same sentence with Donald Trump. Then the gravity of this debate increases exponentially. Nitwit Nero will probably be tweeting his roid rage out into the uncaring universe while this thing's going on. But he is as close to death as any president we have had since that bullet went within an inch of old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan's heart. And so what you're seeing tonight is someone who has, I hate to say it, well, not, and at least in regard to Biden and Harris, what you're seeing tonight is a showdown between two people who, depending on the outcome of the election, have a greater likelihood of becoming president in the next 4 years by operation of the succession as delineated under the Section 1 of the 25th Amendment, as any modern vice president. And we know who Mike Pence's base are. They are the maggots and the evangelicals and the right-wing so-called conservative political cynics who frankly don't care what happens to this country as long as they get theirs. And it's impossible that more could be on the line than is on the line for this particular vice presidential debate. Nitwit Nero's behavior has in fact been so bad that Bandy Lee, Dr. Bandy Lee from Yale University Medical School, says that at this point in time, and Bandy Lee was interviewed by Salon, Bandy Lee said that there is enough evidence now to put a psychiatric hold on Donald Trump and stuff him in a facility for a thorough forensic workup. Again, interviewed by Salon, Dr. Bandy Lee said that Corona Caligula delights in putting people in danger. And that in turn reminds me of something that our pal Joy in Ann Arbor sent along, a quote from Carolyn Wazer. Speaking as someone with a PhD in Roman history, putting your bodyguards at personal risk for no reason when your political support is already teetering is an interesting choice. Or to use the language of the cool younger generation now, it's a weird flex. But Trump's going to Trump. The Secret Service is, for all intents and purposes, the president's Praetorian cohort. And he spent Sunday actively trying to kill them, or some of them. And that jibes with what Dr. Bandy Lee said, in that he delights putting people in danger. Sociopathy, she continued to Salon, is dangerous in part because out of envy of other human beings for having human characteristics, it actively desires people to suffer and die. Which again makes even more credible the notion that he was trying to kill Joe Biden a week ago last Tuesday, as he bellowed and hooted and screamed and hollered at Joe Biden. Explaining her reasoning, Dr. Lee said mental health professionals look at patterns, as human behavior is not random. This is why society charges us with preventing dangers to self and others before they happen, unlike law enforcement, which must wait until after things happen. We are far more familiar with these situations, too. In my 20-year career of working with prisoners and violent offenders to help contain their behavior or to prevent their becoming violent in the first place, I probably treated 1,000 individuals with Trump's exact characteristics. So far, he has not deviated even the slightest from how I expected he would behave in a position of greater power than he can handle. Which is terrifying. Addressing the issue of the behavior of Trump's medical team, she said she was not at all surprised by how they weaseled and squirmed to keep from telling the truth about his condition. She said, I had doubts about Dr. Sean Conley ever since he announced in February 2019 that the president was in very good health after an examination by 11 different board-certified specialists. Why would you need so many specialists for a simple annual exam? And what about the obvious need for a psychiatrist? There's no health without mental health, and hence, when he came out of Walter Reed with an army of physicians, it appeared to me as overcompensation for a lack elsewhere. But because he is the President of the United States, no matter how desperately he needs to be forensically examined for the sake of his own well-being, let alone the well-being of those around him, as he actively tries to spread the disease. Oh, well, he doesn't have a fever. Yeah. He's still spewing. He's still shedding. And in a time when more people are dead from coronavirus in the United States than Vietnam, Korea, Iraq, Afghanistan, and World War I combined, the failure to deal with him mercifully, humanely, and within the standards of care is a travesty, to say the very, very least. Let's see here. Lee in New York says, as far as the vice presidential debate's concerned, I'll be looking at Mother to see how strongly she has to console him after the bully Harris whooped his posterior. I'll be looking for cutaways to Mother to see her, the extent to which she is looking daggers at Kamala Harris. Oh, and for those who want to go and track it down, it would be a Friday. The It's Not About the Cats episode is somewhere between October the 1st and the 31st of last year. October 1st and 31st of 2019. I'm not sure how many Fridays. It can't be more than five Fridays, I don't think, in that October. So if you want to go back in the archives and find the It's Not About the Cat show, Well, I think you'll that's probably still funny. Billable Rick noting, it's not about the cat. After explaining that the lovely star wanted me to get rid of the cats and we concluded it was instead an allergy of star to the ex-wife, Steve from Georgia Stan kept bringing up the cats, to which we all responded, it's not about the cats. Okay, that's how it played out. Yeah. Well, when comedy is being had, like I said, Steve is never far behind. Don't be surprised, says Jimmy in the Great Northwest, if you see Senator Harris make Mike Pencilneck Geek cry. I don't know, Darlene. The last I checked, Darlene says, okay, what's going on? I swear I kept seeing ads on tonight's VP debate saying start at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Now I'm seeing 9 p.m. Which is it? Confused in Connecticut. This isn't the first time I've seen the wrong time posted. I saw that with the presidential debate. I feel like I'm being messed with. I understand some of the for-profits want to have a pre-debate show, but 2 hours beforehand? Something isn't ringing true here. Well, what I read is that it will begin at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Which is neither 7 nor 9. But to the extent that Salt Lake City's in the Mountain Time Zone, that would mean a 6 p.m. start there for an 8 p.m. start here. It would be 9 and 7 otherwise. Salt Lake City is Mountain Time, isn't it? Let's use the magic of the internet. Wait, now they're... Oh, David's just... David, you're only confusing things. The 90-minute debate, according to NBC News, the 90-minute debate will take place at 9 p.m. Eastern Time at the University of Utah's Kingsbury Hall in Salt Lake City. So that would be 7 p.m. Mountain Time. Let's see if there's... 9 Eastern now, Darlene says. Okay. Okay, it seems to be consistent now. The debate begins at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Yesterday they were reporting 8, but you know, whatever. Oh, yuck. Billable Rick letting me know. Over at electoralvote.com, a now-breaking sex scandal involving Democratic challenger Cal Cunningham to Fom Tillis, of course. Over the weekend, news broke that the would-be senator engaged in some extramarital sexting with a PR strategist named Arlene Guzman Todd. Tuesday, Todd said it wasn't just sexting, that she and Cunningham had been intimate. She also claimed there was a third party who was privy to the whole thing, though she was not specific as to exactly what that means. Hopefully the third party wasn't Jerry Falwell Jr. Ha ha. Cunningham's been leading by about 6 points over Fom Tillis. Electoralvote.com saying, we supposed on Monday that some ill-advised text would not be enough to wipe that out. But now that it looks like it wasn't just Cunningham's phone that was involved, it doesn't take many defections to sink a 6-point lead. And that's before we consider the fact that roughly 10% of voters were undecided. This kind of thing is exactly the sort of late-breaking news that tends to affect late voter behavior, which is surely why it just so happens to be leaking right now. In short, Democratic Oppo researchers better find a yearbook photo of Tillis in blackface or Klan robes pronto, or this seat is likely to slip away. All right, so the debate's at 9. We've got that sorted out. Let's, like I said, we're down to 410. We got $10 to go to finish Monday. That would be great to go into tomorrow with at least Monday taken care of. 10 to finish Monday, 200 for yesterday, 200 for this evening. Well, over at headon.live, it's real easy just to help out. And we're looking for new folks to cover for a little bit of contributor fatigue among the stalwarts. Thanks. Okay, what's happening, Scott?
Hey, Bob. Here's what's happening. I want to touch upon something that you touched upon a few moments ago. But before, I would be remiss if I did not do this first. Steve from Georgistan is not only a very funny fellow, but his timing is exquisite.
Oh yeah, he has impeccable timing. I mean, that's a gift of the gods.
He lays them in. I mean, right at the most appropriate time.
Gordo, think of Gordo.
That's the best way to be funny. But anyway, so props to Steve in Georgistan. My buddy. Our buddy. He's the president of my fan club. Did you know that, Bob?
I did not know that, but I would not be surprised.
We got our secret handshake and our special hat and our club song. And I'm not at liberty to divulge the lyrics to the general public, Bob. I'm sorry. But anyway, yesterday we kind of touched upon it. Today, I mean, you touched upon the notion that Trump will willingly, knowingly infect or otherwise injure other people around him. We've already seen upwards of 24 fellow White House employees to whom this fate has fallen. Okay. And I mentioned this just in passing yesterday, but I'm going to go ahead and give a full fledged plug on today's program. I mentioned an episode from 1991 of the NBC program Unsolved Mysteries. Now, before you poo-poo that, all you non-Robert Stack fans out there, there was an episode that I watched the other night on Amazon Prime Video, which is also, this episode is also available on YouTube, from 1991, Unsolved Mysteries, The Diabolical Mind. This was long before Trump had any national reputation. He was detested mainly in New York City, okay? But this episode of The Diabolical Mind of Unsolved Mysteries, if you go to YouTube and put Unsolved Mysteries, The Diabolical Mind, you can watch this 47-minute episode. And every instance that they give of real life people who have no conscience, who have no heart, who have no soul, all of these attributes, negative attributes, can easily, mindlessly be applied to Donald Trump. And I encourage the Horn family after the debate, or maybe midway through if you can't stand it, go ahead and fire up your YouTube and put Unsolved Mysteries, The Diabolical Mind, and watch that and tell me if Trump shouldn't be among the people profiled in that episode. You know, there were no exceptions. All of the attributes fit him to the proverbial T. So that's my little TV plug. But as far as tonight, you're right, when they do the camera shots to the audience, to Mother Pence, at some point she's going to have that tense, frightened look on her face, and maybe her little fists will clench like a mother watching a five-year-old trying to do an intricate baton-twirling routine. She's going to be at the edge of her seat there, probably not wearing a mask. And it's just, you can't buy entertainment like that. So that's my little epistle for today. Your thoughts?
I think you kind of nailed those theses to the wall there, Brother Martin Luther.
I so often do. All 99 of them. Or was it 94? I forget.
I'm not going to look that up. I'm just not. I'm not going to look it up. And in fact, I know that overnight, Chris in Germany will tell me the answer.
Yeah, I'm sure it's 99 because that. To be fair to Hermann Cain, he got the idea originally from Martin Luther, who had 99 theses, and he just added a 9. That's all. Nine. Yeah,
I know. Right. I know the answer. Yeah. I know the answer, and it's not 99.
Oh, 94?
Shh. 98.6? Now quit it. Just quit it.
99 bottles of beer on the wall? I thought it was 99.
Oh, I got to give a cowbell to our buddy Reverbo.
Revolution 9?
No, Reverbo, going back to the issue of demons. Reverbo said, it's time to revisit that classic Far Side cartoon about appliance healers. I command the demons who have possessed this vacuum cleaner to come out!
Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hoover, Electrolux, Sears, Kenmore, be gone. Kirby. You ever have a Kirby vacuum cleaner?
Oh, I've seen them, yeah.
Yeah. My parents had one for years. You could kill a man if you dropped that Kirby on him. You could crush a man's skull, Bob, with a Kirby upright.
God damn, the things are heavy. I know that.
I know. That's how my mother built up her biceps and triceps to beat us. Pushing that Kirby around the house. God damn. Anyway.
Jesus.
Well, that's all I got.
You'll get a kick out of this. Steve from Georgistan said, did this fall through the cracks? Apparently it did. I did not see this. The special election for United States Senate to fill the unexpired term of Johnny Isaacson resigned, vote for only one. Now, this is the ballot for the runoff. And Steve said, this is a real mindfuck, brother, and I agree. Here are your choices. Al Bartell, independent. Alan Buckley, this is Georgia. Alan Buckley, independent. Doug Collins, Republican. John Fortune, Green. Derek Grayson, Republican. Michael Todd Green, independent. Now that's confusing. Annette Davis Jackson, Republican. Deborah Jackson, Democrat. Jamisha James, Democrat. A. Wayne Johnson, Republican, as opposed to the Wayne Johnson. Tamara Johnson Sheasley, Democrat. Matt Lieberman, Democrat. Kelly Loeffler, incumbent, Republican. They put incumbent on there. How nice of them. Joy Felicia Slade, Democrat. Brian Slowinski, Libertarian. Valencia Stovall, independent. Ed Tarver, Democrat. Candace Taylor, Republican. Raphael Warnock, Democrat, and Richard Dean Winfield, Democrat.
Good God, how many is that?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20!
Now, is this a primary, or is this for the
No, the this is the runoff. This is the special election. And okay. There will be a runoff after this, the top two vote-getters. And they've done everything in their power to make sure that the top two vote-getters are Doug Mouthful of Collards Collins and Kelly Loeffler. You got to go all the way down to the W's to get to the one Democrat who has a shot of sneaking in. And before you ever get there, you get to the L's and Matt Lieberman, who has an invisible black friend and wrote a book about it.
That reminds me of that old joke about the literacy test that they used to give. They give the fellow a Chinese newspaper and tell him to read the first line. And he says, what does that mean, son? Only he didn't say son. And he said, what that means is no black folks will be voting here today. So how little things change, Bob. I mean, that's deliberate. I mean, I'm not saying people
that's deliberate electoral rat fuckery.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's where I was going. That's exactly where I was going. God damn. In Georgia.
I mean, that would have
thought
a ballot like that make a ballot like that make a freight train take a dirt road.
Yeah, Jesus.
I mean, that's just nuts. By the way, Matt in San Francisco, tonight's debate. Our plan is for the entire family to view the debate tonight. We will skip all the pre-shows, pomp and circumstance. I think it'll be an informative debate, and many Americans who've not been paying very close attention will be able to get a feel for what the differences are between the candidates. Those of us who pay attention already know what's going on, but we're not the ones who are going to decide the contest. The fence sitters are front and center. Kamala will do fine. She just has to avoid coming off as the lefty, angry black woman, which Pence will undoubtedly try to paint her as. He's very disciplined and stays on message very well. He's everything that Trump is not. Disciplined, rehearsed, strong on message, and has a great appeal to the religious crowd. He will probably try to spin her attack as unfair and against the upstanding, God-fearing, righteous crowd. Kamala is much better at thinking on her feet and responding to attacks in the moment, and has a great prosecutorial style which will probably trip up Pence a couple of times. Another challenge is Kamala will be dealing with facts, and Pence will not be limited to that reality-based line of response and challenges. However, I think she'll be well prepared and has done her homework on what Pence has been spouting on the campaign trail as of late, so he'll probably be overly confident as he has his bullshit challenged in a formidable way for the last 4 years. Hasn't had. In short, it should be an eventful evening. P.S. There's something to be said for Kamala in that she's won every election she's been a part of. The job she's done for her constituents in San Francisco, then the entire state of California as AG, then senator, speaks for itself, and the people of California overwhelmingly support her, which is more than you can say of either of the people on the Republican ticket. Solid analysis. Thank you, Matt. Please hang on to your sanity for dear life, because, well, if she gets a chance to bear down and start cross-examining him, he's not going to like it. And of course, the other part of it is
a history of lying.
Oh yeah, well, I mean, he's an evangelical Christian, so that goes as read. But the other part of it is that he has faith in God, and so he may be counting a little too hard on that faith. You know, he may be a little too high on the faith and too low on the Book of James that says faith without works is dead. So there's that. And that, you know, that pride goeth before a fall.
Yeah, that too. Well, to the, I don't know, you know, I would never make it as a briefer, you know, a debate prep person.
And remember, yes, that's the other thing to remember. His debate prep included having Scott Walker play the role of Kamala Harris. Former governor of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
That's Scott Walker.
Well, to the extent that she can, because you know that he is more or less a surrogate for Trump, and to the extent that she is able to tie him to the piss-poor job that Trump has done, and the piss-poor human being that Trump has shown himself to be, and wasn't Pence among the ones who derided Trump during the debate season of 2016. God, there were 17 or 21 of them who called him everything but a child of God.
Well, but Pence wasn't running.
Well, no, what I mean is the people like Ted Cruz and Lindsey Graham and all the rest of them who... Somewhere I'm sure you've got a copy of the list of all the nasty things that were said about Trump during the primary 4 short years ago. certainly Pence was on board with that mindset about the guy. And now Trump can do no wrong in Mike Pence's beady little eyes.
Well, I remember, and it would, I'd have to go back and look at it again, but there was that magic moment where Pence became the vice presidential nominee. And it had to do with, you know, flying to Taliban Indianapolis and silly shit like that. But it's, you know, it is worth noting that he may be, it's possible he'll be overconfident. Or he'll think that he's going to, there's no way he can convince much more than the maggots themselves. Because there's just, there's the bigotry aspect and the misogyny aspect. Those are bound to be in play because we're talking about a Republican candidate.
Yeah.
Cynthia out in the Bay Area says, by the way, Bob, I think Amy Coney Barrett needs an appropriate nickname. I don't know if you've assigned one, but how about Amy Baloney Zealot or Amy Crony Parrot? Have you come up with one yet? I haven't noticed, but you're the best at it. No, I'm pretty fond of Amy Baloney Zealot, but so far I've just been sort of fixated on the idea of her as Judge Handmaid.
Yeah.
She's one of the dangerous kinds. You know, she's not a Kenneth Copeland that's just running a hustle. She's got a legally trained mind and is able to twist secular laws into theocratic purposes.
And she's so blatant about it.
Well, she's the kind of legal figure who would engage in massive amounts of jurisprudential leisure demain to come up with a reason to uphold the Enabling Act.
Well, for her entire
and by the way,
career,
that's a cowbell for Cynthia, for Amy Baloney Zealot.
For her entire career. She started as a lawyer, and then wasn't she a judge or a professor or both?
Yeah, she started out as a law clerk for fat dead Tony Scalia, and then someone else, and then fat dead Tony, and then she went and worked at a highfalutin D.C. law firm for up-and-coming ambitious Republicans, and then she went and became a law professor, I think teaching civil procedure at Notre Dame. And then she was put on the darling list of the Federalist Society and found herself on the making the Circuit Court of Appeals, on which she serves, a lily white affair. Oh, and Cynthia was looking for a nickname. I think when I mentioned Fat Dead Tony, I think I came up with it. You ready for this, Cynthia? Amy Tony's Parrot. Because she said that Fat Dead Tony's ideology was hers as well. She couldn't have her own because, of course, she's female, and her cult doesn't allow her to have her own opinion. She has to adopt those of a superior male.
But and if you take Amy off the spots...
Amy Tony's Parrot, I think, has real... It's got some real stick to it.
If you tick off each of the slots on her resume, each step of the way, her primary goal was to glorify the Lord, Bob.
Well, it depends on how you define that. I bet you she's one of these people that absolutely despises Pope Frank.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, and I got to send out some thank yous. We finished Monday. Thank you to Gary. We finished Monday. And we've started on yesterday, and we've got the goal is now down to 385. Thanks, Gary. Thanks a ton. And hopefully others, maybe we'll get a few more jumping in the next 26 minutes or so. Ah, thank you. Thank you, Bob, says Cynthia. Cowbells are hard to come by, and justly so. You maintain a high standard. Oh, Amy Tony's parrot sounds great. So we've got to vote for Amy Tony's parrot. Yeah, I'm liking that more and more. So we'll say that Cynthia and I co-created that one.
Yeah. Let's hope we don't have to use it. Maybe, you know how crazy life is. Maybe something will happen that it's that old pride thing. Let he who thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And there's been some bit of falling recently.
Wow, I just, old DJ moment, I just thought of a lyric that uses that. Do you remember the comeback album of the band Sweet? That featured a tune called Love Is Like Oxygen?
No, you're into the deep cuts.
It was a radio hit. But you know, they had that wonderful album Desolation Boulevard. And they went away for a while, and they came back with Love Is Like Oxygen. And it's not Sweet, it's The Sweet.
I, honest to God, I don't even remember the group.
I'm gonna have to get this going for you then.
All right.
Let's see. It'll take a minute, but there's a line in there. I always heard that pride goes before a fall. Yeah, here it is. Let's see. It's a great opening lick. You might remember it when you hear it. Anything?
Not really.
Okay, so it goes like that for a while, and then it becomes kind of ballad-ish.
Would that have been in the 70s?
Early 80s, I think.
Let's see. Okay.
Let me check. I'm looking for the Pride Goes Before a Fall. Sorry, it just happens. You know, it just happens.
No, I know how that works. I know how that goes. I know how that goes.
Let's see, there was Fox on the Run, Ballroom Blitz. I think those were all the same band. Yeah.
Yeah, but, I think I was out of the musical loop at that point.
Oh, wait a minute. I got a cowbell going out to Irish Dave. Come on, Bob. As a master of words, didn't you realize that Barrett is the feminine form of bar? Barrett? Oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, dear. Dear.
The Barrett. That's kind of sexist, but... Then again, you could argue that she shares a judicial philosophy with Attorney General Pepe the Frog, too.
Jabba.
Jabara the Hutt.
There you go. There you go. Are we still on track? I say we, being the American people. Are we still on track for an October the 12th start on the?
That's what they. That's what Precious Lindsay and Moscow Mitch done declared.
Well, how many times can COVID early vote? It seems like COVID has voted early in the presidential contest. Maybe he'll do something in the arena of the Senate. Chime in about the court, Bob.
Well, you never know what the goddess of irony's got got queued up.
Well, like I was saying the other day, you know, you've got the goddess of irony, you've got science, and you've got karma. That's a triple tag team.
Now Tom Cotton's done said, he said, we'll haul people in on a stretcher if we have to. Here's the funny part. How do you vote if you're on a vent? And how portable are ventilators? And if you're flat on if you're flat on your belly with a garden hose down your gullet.
Yeah.
And you're all immobilized so that you can't move and tear all the hoses out and lines and so forth. How are you going to manifest that voting intent? And here's the thing. Three of them go down. Three of the Republicans go down and can't show.
Yeah.
You can't get her out of committee.
Well,
and
see,
then
what's more,
if you can't manifest a Republican majority in a general session of the Senate, well, old Addison of Addison McConnell of Colbert County, Alabama, his grip on power becomes, shall we say, tenuous.
He drops the ball, to use a football term. And see, these fuckers, it's never enough for them. How many federal judges have they managed to pack our federal courts with over the past almost 4 years? And they still want, they've already put two associate justices up on the bench, the Supreme Court bench. But no, they're greedy fuckers. That's another reason not to vote for any of them. They're just greedy fuckers.
Yeah, they are, but they are very close to. I mean, they're at. How do I put this? Their overreach or their potential overreach is not within their control anymore. Mike Lee's on the committee. Mike Lee's got it. Ron Johnson's got it?
Yeah, Tom Tillis has got it.
And all they have to do is be immobilized by it.
Which, given the nature of the virus, is not a difficult thing to have.
Well, I guarantee those three fuckers probably are not going to get the heroic measures that were taken for Donald J. fucking Trump.
You went right where I was going. They don't get a presidential pass like Trump did, a get out of Walter Reed free card. Okay? They're not entitled to that. Well, neither was Trump. I mean, he pressured them. And I'll bet you somewhere there's a form that he put his nasty scrawl on. His KKK scroll.
I want every drug you got. Give him a, give him all to me. I gotta have. I don't care. Give me the hydroxychloroquine. No, don't give me that. And don't you let that My Pillow motherfucker around here with his goddamn old. I want the good stuff. I want the good stuff.
And keep that pillow away from me too. I see, and that's the other thing. We know from what we know of this virus that someone of his age and his state of health otherwise and the severity of the case, that he's not out of the woods. He's acting as he lives in his own world, you know, hopped up on fucking steroids. And, you know, he's just not. He's overplaying his hand is what he's doing.
One hopes.
And people shouldn't take this the wrong way. But 1994 when Newt Gingrich rode in on his nag, okay? And there was the big contract on America and all that. The Democrats had pretty much been in charge of Capitol Hill, by and large, at least the House, for a good long time. And Republicans, by and large, have had their say and had their way for a good long time. And voters and citizens, many of whom have a few viable brain cells to bang together and can see what havoc and hellacious horror they have wrought over the time. People, this is a change election. This is
and it's also a case of that boy who cried wolf phenomenon, because every presidential election, we say this is the most important presidential election in our history. That's because every presidential election is the most important presidential election in our history, because it's a chance to make sure the system, it's a stress test to make sure that we can still have the peaceful transfer of power and that the thing still works. But in this case, it extends well past that, Scott. This really is the most important presidential election in the history of our nation to date, because we're going to find out whether or not we still have a fucking constitution.
Yeah,
plain and simple.
Because
I got to award a cowbell. This goes to Glenn in San Diego. I read that Stephen Miller, having contracted the COVID, proves that the virus can be passed from bats to humans and back to bats.
Anybody remember Bat Boy on the cover of the National Enquirer?
Oh, yeah.
I got to find that graphic and put a side-by-side of Stephen Miller and Bat Boy. I think there's more of a resemblance that can be made and seen.
Yes, and you do know that he was said to be hiding out in the hollers of West Virginia.
That boy was?
Yes. and back in the day, this was about the time that Ferg was an infant, and with the exception of the sharp little pointy teeth, we did have some photos that, well, let's just say they looked like kin, and it did not give either Agnes or me any comfort in pointing it out. But I remember one time picking it up in the grocery store and said, "You see a resemblance?" And she goes, "Shut up."
Pardon me. Hold on here.
And James in Illinois says, "All we need is an artist, somebody who can put Barr's face on Jabba's and the judge's face on Leia's." Ooh. Any Photoshoppers out there? We need Bill Barr's face on Jabba the Hutt and Amy Tony's parrot on Leia.
Yeah, and don't forget the Danish, two Danish, one for each side of her head.
Absolutely.
Jeez.
God almighty. From bats to humans and back to bats. And Ron in Raleigh reminds us, Rudy Giuliani is taking hydroxychloroquine, although he's supposedly tested negative. Well, I think we should add supposedly taking hydroxychloroquine, too, because that shit kills people.
Well, you mentioned that Trump supposedly, they've released word that he's being tested every day. Now, this guy who took his SAT, have they got him on the payroll? To take the COVID test?
Right,
like
exactly.
He did the SAT test at Wharton or wherever the fuck it was?
Well played.
God damn. I'm telling you, Bob. And that clip that you played earlier to open the show of young Eric on a radio station, you got to think that it's a
fucking. He literally saved Christianity.
Oh, yeah. I have not seen so much. Well, he was trying to point out all the wonderful things his daddy did, okay? I haven't seen that much flailing since the Titanic went down. I mean, he was just, you know, Trump doesn't have a record other than criminal, okay, that can be, you know, given as reason to vote for him. So poor Eric's up there at some little one-lung radio station in the wilds of North Dakota or South Dakota, wherever the hell it was, you know, giving his daddy's praises and props and stuff, jumping from one supposed accomplishment to another. And, he's just like, throw that boy a life preserver because he's gone down.
Well, check him into an Adderall rehab. You know, the apple falls not far from the tree, nor the turd from the anus.
And poor Michelle Bachmann. I mean, Marcus needs to take that girl by the hand and take her to the Minnesota State Happy House so that he can get on with his life and be his most authentic self or something. Have a corn dog. We in peace.
Oh, and back to the Sweet. JR says, the Sweet, one of the most underrated bands of the 70s. That song was senior year for me. Me too. Other hits, Little Willie, Fox on the Run, Ballroom Blitz, Blockbuster, AC/DC, Good Taste, Bob. Well, thank you, JR.
Wait a minute. Little Willie. Now, is that...
Little Willie, go home, but you can't push Willie round. Yeah. Willie won't go. Try telling everybody, but whoa, no. Little.
Well,
no.
I probably do know them then.
They probably... I don't know. Maybe that was a cover. Yeah, Love is Like Oxygen was top 10 hit in spring of 1978. And now it's time for a long-distance dedication.
Well, wait a
minute. Dear Casey, this is a letter. Please believe me when I say I'm sincere. This is a letter about a family and a dog. And honest to God, I don't know why we can't come out with a down-tempo record when we got a fucking deaf dedication. Great moments in radio.
Damn dead dog.
And where are those pictures I was supposed to see?
Is Don on the phone?
Is Don on the phone?
God, Bob. You're killing me here.
But you understand those moments if you spent any time at all. God damn it!
Well, that whole blooper is a classic. There will never be another blooper like that. The only other one that I can compare it to is Long John Nebel on, I guess, WOR or WNBC in New York doing talk radio, doing a commercial for an X-rated movie in the late 60s, early 70s that happened in Hollywood about featuring Felicity Split. Have I sent that to you? Have
no.
You listened to that? Pull up YouTube real quick. And key in It Happened in Hollywood. And he just loses it. He's trying to do a live read of a commercial for an X-rated movie playing in Metropolitan New York. It Happened in Hollywood. And he's got a studio full of talk show guests, and he loses it, and they lose it, which makes him lose it more. Oh, it's a classic. It's as good as the Dead Dog dedication.
Yeah, okay.
I'm this sure it's on there.
Yeah, hold on.
It's crude. It's sexy. It's funny, says Kevin Sanders of TV's Eyewitness News. It Happened in Hollywood goes so far beyond your wildest imagination that you must see it to believe it. You must be over 21 to see It Happened in Hollywood. Now playing Orleans Theater, 47th Street, just west of Broadway. You must be 21 to see It Happened in Hollywood.
Yes, it happened in Hollywood, and perhaps it's the most ambitious adult film ever made. Now, it claims a cast of over 50 souls who cavort and carry on in the name of sexual liberation and good, clean fun. It happened in Hollywood, and some of the lines in here are terrific. Sandy went to the preview of it, and Sandy said it was really great. It happened in Hollywood. It contains a circus act by the name of the Flying Fools, who make love on a trapeze. This is not to be laughed at. This is serious.
Find the right station.
And Let me tell you where it is. It's at the Orleans Theater, 47th Street west of Broadway. No one under 21 admitted. Now, It Happened in Hollywood contains a circus act by the name of the Flying Fools, who make love on a trapeze, bicycles, in the air, and, well, you must see it to believe it. The Flying Fools are destined to be one of the all-time classic feats of sexual acrobats. It Happened in Hollywood is the true-to-life tale.
No, I can't. I can't.
Oh, you got to. No, you got to.
No, because I got a little piece of breaking. I got a little piece of breaking. I got a little piece of breaking news here that actually matters.
Okay.
This just came in from the New York Times. We were just as we were talking about Attorney General Bill Pepe the Frog Barr. A memo that went out Friday to Justice Department prosecutors gives them the go-ahead to investigate suspicions of election fraud before votes are even tabulated, and runs contrary to a policy that is decades long, according to the New York Times, that forbids aggressive inquiries during campaigns in order to keep from chilling electoral participation.
Jesus.
The memo creates an exception to the general non-interference with elections policy for suspicions of election fraud, particularly misconduct by federal government workers, including postal workers or military employees. Both groups transport mail-in ballots. The exception allows investigators to take overt investigative steps like questioning witnesses that were previously off-limits. It also allows prosecutors to make more of a spectacle of election fraud in the weeks before the vote on November 3rd. The U.S. Attorney in New Jersey, Craig Carpenito, promoted an arrest on Wednesday of a postal worker suspected of discarding mail, including dozens of ballots, which were found and put back in the mail. The New York Times has seen the memo, as has ProPublica, whom we can trust. So that gives us a pretty goddamn good idea of what's coming at us.
Yeah. Where did this happen with the postal carrier, supposedly?
New Jersey, it said there.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So they're getting an early start on the rat fucking this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And unprecedented in terms of the depths that they'll the degree that they will try to circumvent the people's right to their franchise is what it is.
Yep. Hey, Scott, I'm going to try to work one more call in here before the evening ends.
All right, man. Take care. Hang in there.
All right. That's some creepy news to end a conversation on, but
yeah, it, sure
it is what
is,
it is.
And very disconcerting.
All right. You take care. Bye now.
See ya.
Bye. Our buddy Scott in San Diego and in Chicago. Welcome to the program. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I do.
Okay. My name is Crystal Abramowski, and I'm calling on behalf of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. How are you today?
You're on the air.
Okay. I apologize. I thought we're only supposed to be calling
people. Hold on. Hold on, please. Stand by, y'all. This is weird. Bizarre. I don't know if that was real or not. And I don't know what the purpose was. I thought that was a listener in Chicago. But no. Well, that brings us to the end of the program. Note coming from Shorty in L.A. on the way out the door. Final thoughts about today. You know who today is. You know today is, along with every other Wednesday, stock market day for presidential stock investor Trump. So there was no erratic behavior. There's not ever been erratic behavior. It's always been on the continuing intentional behavior, purposeful behavior, inhumane behavior, let me out of this damn hospital because my son is testifying behavior, and most famous, I don't give a fuck behavioral ranting, well, except for his precious stocks. My point? Shorty says, my point is that Trump only changed his mind after Chairman Powell made his comments about what the harm of no COVID-19 stimulus package would do to the country. Then Trump changed his mind. And so today he's been tweeting about, you know, he wants this for the airlines and that for the blah, blah, blah. All he has to do is say, hey, Mitch McConnell, pass the bill Nancy sent to you. It's a compromise bill in the first place. But Jerome Powell scared him shitless. And that 300-point drop did, too. So, all right, we've got an hour to pop the popcorn and get ready for the brouhaha in Utah, the Salt Lake licking. And we'll talk it all out tomorrow. We'll close the program with $385 to go in fundraising. Maybe there'll be some help from the overnight crew. That'd be great. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks for everybody who jumped in this evening. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Head on .live. Brand new Malloy on the way at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Just stick around. Head on .live. We'll have it. Best place to listen to the program. Best place to gather around the Truth Seeker campfire. Thanks to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. I got to admit, I'm a little rattled by that. I don't know what that was about. Maybe a wrong number. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. By the way, Todd in South Carolina Stan says, Dr. Bandy X. Lee had no choice but to speak out again. I'm glad her institution provided the latitude for her offerings. Donald J. Trump will detonate a nuclear weapon if he becomes aggrieved enough. He is that unsettled and unwell. Yep. Please stay safe. Please stay home if you can. Please, if you have to be out and about, wear your mask, the best mask you can lay your hands on. Wear your gloves, wash your hands, carry hand sanitizer wherever you go. Anytime you touch anything out in the wider world, sanitize, sanitize, sanitize. Maintain your social distance, not 6 feet, not 10, but 13 or 16, if at all humanly possible. Take the good advice that Paul from Parts Unknown has given us. For God's sakes, if somebody comes toward you saying, Donald Trump saved Christianity, avoid that person like the plague, because they are. Later, y'all.